Into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host, Corey Kinnon, again with my other co-host now, Dalton Miller. Dalton, episode two, how are you feeling?
Fantastic, obviously. I get to talk about a position that I really like. Obviously, if you guys were around for the earlier podcast before I was co-host, I talked about safeties, but I really do enjoy cornerbacks as well. Any position like that that's so reactionary is fun for me just because of the physics and the anatomy of it. I just love watching different guys move and get the job done moving very differently. And at the cornerback position, that can get a little bit tricky when you're watching guys.
Yeah, for sure. And there's so many different scheme, versatile things to look for at corners. And just because they're not good at one thing doesn't mean they're not a good, like they could completely be great at another thing. And that could get them drafted in the first round and have a really successful NFL career. So it is one of those positions that is way more scheme specific than some others, you know? And so that's really exciting to talk about. And you know, there's different body types, there's different levels of athleticism, and you can find success with all of these different types of players that play the same position. So I'm very excited to talk about cornerbacks as well. So Dalton, I think the place to start with corners is obviously the guy down in Michigan, right? We had an entire episode on Travis Hunter, so I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about him, but it'll probably be pretty brief talk about Travis Hunter. But I think we have to start with Will Johnson, right? And I think the place to start with Will Johnson is that the body of work is better than anybody else's in the class. Like, you can just look at his last three games, mm-hmm. or the three of his last four games, I'm sorry, because Ohio State didn't play in the Big Ten Championship. But, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Dunes, and you know, those Washington receivers all within the last few weeks of the season. Like, that's a ridiculous body of work to just go up with. It's a gauntlet.
No, you're absolutely right. It is. And I thought that he was the clear guy. Even when I watched Travis Hunter, you're right. The amount of talent that he went up against and was able to not just survive against, but play really well against, and just the physical attributes of him are what really jump out to me. Somebody who is probably all of 6'2", with great length, in my opinion, like an unnatural amount of fluidity and explosiveness at that length. The click and close is insane, and it has to be when you are covering guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. and you got guys like the Washington trio as well. Going through, man, it's just hard not to immediately fall in love with him, not just because of the physical traits, but because a lot of the times he is in your face and it is man-to-man coverage and it's him versus the other guy. And when we watch corners, that's the sexy stuff. Like, what Travis Hunter does so well, and Travis Hunter is that kind of gnat too, obviously in a different package, but what we love about Hunter is the mind and the zone coverage chops that he has and just the innate ability to make plays. With Will Johnson, it's just like the old school, I'm going to punch you in the mouth and then I'm going to carry you all the way down the sideline consistently for the entire game.
Yeah, and he's not, like, he'll follow you. He'll follow you.
Yeah.
He's and that's, I think, rare in college football, and it's rare in the NFL to see it as well. Most of the teams in the NFL will just play sides. And but in that Ohio State game, he followed Harrison Jr. Alabama game, he's following Isaiah Bond. Washington game, national championship, he's following Romo Dunze for the most part. So I think that's a really impressive body of work. And then the playoffs, he played hurt. So he got hurt in that Ohio State game in the first half, missed the Big Ten championship game, and then played hurt in the college football playoffs as well. So that's something to take into consider when watching those the Alabama game, the Washington game as well. Is he's not 100% healthy either. And he's still out there doing what he does. You know, that Ohio State game, I think Marvin Harrison, again, he played 39 snaps. He did get hurt. I think Marvin got him twice. And one was really, he was kind of spacing between a kind of a like an in and go, you know, a stack where Julian Fleming ran a dig and Marvin Harrison Jr. ran a go, and he's kind of spacing between those two and then falls off the dig and heads deep, but was a step or two behind. But I even think when he is beat, like, his recovery speed is tremendous to get the phase.
That was a big one to Marvin Harrison Jr. And he made the tackle, right? He recovered and made the tackle.
No, that's when he got a flag thrown because McCord threw the ball like 5 yards.
Oh yeah. That's right. Underthrown DPI. Yeah, that's right. Yeah that was DPI. That one.
But there is the one as well where Marvin Harrison got him off the line, ran a slant, and he made the tackle as soon as he got the football as well. I think those were the only two reps that I saw that Marvin Harrison really beat Will Johnson in that game.
Yeah. And that's the one of the best, I mean, in my opinion, the most complete wide receiver that we've seen in a very, very long time coming into the NFL draft. So I think the only thing that I saw was during the Washington game, the same thing with Travis Hunter and any of the guys who are like innate playmakers is he can bite on a double move every once in a while. And that's just going to be what comes with, you know, understanding route depth and trying to make plays based off of, you know, if this guy breaks at this route depth, this is what route he's going to run. Not even 9 times out of 10, but it's going to be, you know, 95 times out of 100. And those 5 times where he plants that other foot, that opposite foot, and goes back north and south, you might get beat every once in a while, even when you're the best in the world. And I do think with the entire package, even though Travis Hunter is, I think, the better zone coverage defender, we haven't even talked about that with Will Johnson, where I think that's good with him as well. Something that I think he's an excellent communicator from what I saw in match looks. There were some miscommunications with number 2 and the apex defender and him at times, but it didn't look to be on him. Like when you watch some of the zone match coverages, it looks like he is in the right, and sometimes the slot or the safety is in the wrong, and there was a miscommunication or on a check or something if there was motion. A couple of times there were, you know, times where switch releases got to that defense in Michigan. But overall, when you have a guy like him who can lock down an entire side of the field, it makes defense a lot easier for your defensive coordinator to call.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned it at the beginning, but body typing matters, man.
Yeah.
Body typing absolutely matters. And
especially with wide receivers getting bigger and stronger and faster again.
Right. And this guy's all of 6'2", 200 pounds that he's listed at. All of it. And he plays pigeon-toed at the line of scrimmage. His feet are so light. The timing of his hands are impeccable when he's punching in press tech.
Yes.
Impeccable.
I have that too.
And even more with his hands is when he's playing off. He's a gnat, man. If he's playing off, that as soon as he sees a break, as soon as he sees those hips sink, he's in it. He's in the pocket. It's uncanny the way that he can just stick to any sort of route. And in the Ohio State game, they tried to get him on a couple double moves. Like I saw one Ohio and he stayed squared, didn't give an inch, didn't give a gate, nothing. And entirely impossible to create a blind spot against.
And I like how you brought up the catch and carry, because that's something that I wrote down as well. It was solid route depth, understanding and breaking points, but additionally, supreme confidence in his ability to catch and carry from off coverage. The striking at the line of scrimmage is so much fun to watch, but I am just personally not a fan of two-hand strikes most of the time. It is dangerous. Now, when you have the recovery speed that he does and the fluidity that he does, you know, at his size, he can kind of get away with it a little bit because he does recover quickly and get back in step. But the two-hand strike is something that I generally am not a huge fan of.
Yeah, I get it. I get it as well. I talked to Cody Alexander of Match Quarters on this podcast during my scouting series, and he helped me with corners. And he's like, yeah, I tend not to like it either. So, but that's the one thing he brought up to me is like, watch for those guys that are pigeon-toed at the line of scrimmage, dude. Those guys who play with their toes real close to each other. He's like, those are the guys who can move without any issue at all. And Will Johnson fits that to a T. I do think, and this is not a Will Johnson thing. This is like a general cornerback thing in general. He could be a better tackler. You know, I think he missed a decent amount of tackles. He could be better at getting off blocks, but he's not unwilling. And I think he knows like to force things back inside. If he's not gonna make a play, at least like he's gonna set that. He's gonna force it back inside of himself, which is kind of really all you need from a lockdown corner. Again, those guys aren't generally getting paid to come up and stick their nose and run support at the line of scrimmage very frequently. So I have this question. Through so far of all the guys you've watched, how close is Will Johnson to 1.1 for you?
Ooh. I haven't gotten too deep in offensive tackle, and I haven't gotten deep. I mean, there's not a quarterback that's better than him. Like, even looking at positional value, I don't think so. So, I mean, unless one of these wide receivers just really I fall in love with it. Will Johnson might be 1-1. Travis Hunter might be 1-1. Like, that's how good these two guys are. And I would give, in the summer, and I talked about this on the last podcast, I would give the edge to Will Johnson because of the physical attributes that he possesses, and it is summer, and you can bet on that little bit more physical upside that he has compared to Travis Hunter. Now, at the end of the year, that might be a little bit different. You might see Travis Hunter just absolutely explode, bring a little bit more play strength, yada yada, play more defense and just be generally have a higher battery. But Will Johnson, he has everything that you want, a lot like Patrick Surtain, except for I think that he is a little bit more naturally fluid, and that's not quite as good in zone coverage, but that's mostly because Pat Surtain was just a freak of nature.
Yeah, I think I'm right there. I mean, again, I need to go deep in a few other positions too, but he's right there at the top of my list. Again, the offensive tackle class was one you said you hadn't gone deeply, and I think it's generally not a great class. So
I think offense in general, just it's not the best class in the world.
No, and so I tend to think that he's probably going to be up there for me as well. Quarterbacks tend to like get that little bump because they play the most important position in professional sports, but it's not a good quarterback class either. I think there's a real chance Will Johnson's the best player in this class. Real chance. We got like three other corners plus, if we want to talk on Travis Hunter again too, to four other corners to get to. So I think we spent a good amount of time on.
Yeah, we can kind of speed through these guys a little bit quicker.
Yeah, so. Next, we'll talk about the guy who was a freshman phenom, and I don't think his tape really fell off his sophomore year. And he's considered a first-round pick. He's in the first round of just about every mock I've seen. You're high on him still. I'm a little more reserved on him, but let's talk about Benjamin Morrison.
Okay, we can talk about it. I actually thought that you were going to go with somebody else here. Really? When you were talking about freshman phenom, I thought you were going to go with Denzel Burke because he had a fantastic freshman season. As well, and then injuries have kind of, you know, set him back a little bit. I am a little bit higher on Benjamin Morrison than you are. However, the one thing that did get me is when I was watching him, I like to watch guys before I get a lot of information on them, just because I don't want the information that I get to kind of sway my opinion on guys. So I was watching him, and I was hearing all about these big corners, and I was watching him play, and I was like, yeah, this is a nice 6 foot two. No, he's not 6 foot two. He's like 5'11". So like right there, like I'm watching him because I see the arms and the arms are long. He's got legitimate length, but that legitimate length is on a 5'11 frame instead of a 6'2 frame. So right then and there, it's a little bit less of what I like, but I like, and maybe it's because I thought he was taller before I watched him. He's comfortable playing low and control and in control. And when I watch longer or, you know, especially long leg, because that's his build. I know this because I am very much a long legged, short torsoed guy myself. Long legs, short torso. Sometimes it is difficult to change direction. He is high cut. He's got long legs, but he plays low and he plays efficiently, in my opinion. And I know that this is something that you disagree with me on. And it is a frame thing. And I, again, was framing this as somebody who was thinking that he was 6 foot two before I actually kind of looked into the bio and saw that he was 6 foot tall. What I did like outside of that is everything about him in coverage in that Notre Dame defense. And this is something that has gotten me into a lot of trouble with every single Notre Dame defender. I love that defense. There isn't a defense I like watching more. Everything is, there's so much intent with everything that defense does. The corners, the half turns that he has in cover three, the leverage that he keeps is fantastic. He carries well vertically. He has good experience at finding the football. I will say there are times where his eyes lie to him. He gets his head around a little bit early in carry. He can get beat by savvier route runners, like kind of the multi-layered routes, like the blaze outs that you get see guys watch. He'll like peek a little bit inside to the quarterback and get beat outside there. I think that he needs to be a little bit more patient at the line of scrimmage when he's playing on the line of scrimmage as well. And then the over-the-top leverage in man is something that Notre Dame teaches and a lot of colleges actually teach. Instead of playing back hip, they play front hip, and that annoys the hell out of me because it just allows guys to consistently beat them on stop routes. There's just nothing that they can do about it. And it keeps over-the-top leverage. It limits big plays, but it allows for a lot of easy completions as well, and it really doesn't matter how good you move. You're just going to get beat by good wide receivers in that situation because on top of being able to stop quicker than you, you're in a reactive position. They could also just straight up push off of you and create separation that way as well very easily. So for me, I think I'm a little bit higher on him than you are, but the more I watched all of these guys, the further Morrison kind of fell in my own rankings of these guys, even though I still do like him. I just like other guys more.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good prospect. Like, this is also something to preface when we're talking about this corner class.
Sure. These are the top guys.
It's outrageous. Like, the corner class is unbelievable. You could name probably 10 off the top of your head that, like, these guys could all go top 64. Like, that's the kind of class that it is. Like, and so when we're talking about Benjamin Morrison, like, you have to kind of put him in the context of that. I think where I kind of fall off, I agree with the technique stuff that you're saying, and I get it, but, like, it's like at the combine, you know, like a 4.440 is not the same for one guy as a 4.440 is for the other, right? There's there's gliders who like, oh, that 4.40, that 4.4 was really easy for that guy to run. And there's those guys that are like straining with every muscle in their body to run as fast as they can so that they can get that 4.4 to their name, right? Like, and that's kind of how I feel about Benjamin Morrison a little bit. Like, I think when he is carrying over the top, it looks stressful for him compared to a guy like Will Johnson, compared to another guy we'll get to in a second, down the road in this podcast, compared to Travis Hunter. Like, it doesn't look as easy. Like, Will Johnson, Travis Hunter glide. Like, when they're carrying vertically, they glide. To me, like, the only way I know how to kind of phrase it is it kind of seems like Benjamin Morrison has to poop when he's carrying vertically. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but and so I wish it were a little more easy, and the athletes he's going to start seeing aren't going to get easier. You know what I'm saying? So like,
yeah.
That's a huge reservation for me, is like, oh, he's straining. Like that looks like strain.
See, that's funny because I understand what you're talking about with the having to poop thing. For me, it's the panic button. There's a panic button with these guys. They're really straining to carry downfield, and maybe it is the over the top leverage that they teach that aids to that as well. That thought of he's working really hard because he's trying to maintain that leverage. And so again, because he's working so hard to maintain that leverage, then he just gets beat, snapped off on routes. And then, yeah, you're looking at a guy who it looks like he's working really hard to get downfield. It's part technique, and also, if you think about it, could be part his athletic ability.
What did you think about his play strength?
It's not great, but honestly, I don't see many corners these days where I'm like, oh, that guy punches you in the mouth. They're not paid to do that. I hate to say that, but they're just not paid to do that. They are paid to try to stay in front of or close proximity to the freakiest athletes in the world who know where they're going and you don't know where they're going. And so for me, you need to have a requisite amount of physicality. And as long as you have that, I'm all right with you. Yeah. But, and I think that he has that, but yeah, he's not gonna beat you up.
Yeah. I think my bigger, again, going back to body typing a little bit is like, I think he has the body of a nickel and the skill set of a boundary corner.
I don't think that's unfair, but I actually don't hate that either.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, I mean, I think that he's definitely, and for me, if he wasn't as long, I would agree with you a little bit more there. But because of his length, because I've seen him play well at the catch point, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Again, his body of work isn't, the body of work that he's gone against isn't isn't small either. Again, he's got two matchups with Marvin Harrison Jr. under his belt as well. Like, so he's played USC twice. Like, he's got a pretty good body of work to his name as well. And he's played well in those games. So, like, he gets the benefit of the doubt. He's getting mocked in the first round for a reason. So, like, again, I'm dinging him in the context of, like, we're talking about Travis Hunter, Will Johnson, who we've both said are easy money top 10 picks.
Yeah.
So like, potentially best players in the class. So just to reiterate that context a little bit as well.
American Giant makes great clothing, T-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
You mentioned Denzel Burke. Let's just jump to Denzel Burke. Again, was that freshman phenom. Let's call it what it is. His sophomore tape was a pretty big disappointment. Mm-hmm. Pretty significant disappointment. And then he had a really nice rebound in 2023. When I look at Denzel Burke the most, he was very, very good pretty much all season. But going back to the body of work of the receivers he's faced, Ohio State didn't really have that until the Michigan game, until the last two games of the season, honestly. And I thought he had his worst game of the season against Michigan. Pretty easily, the worst game of the season against Michigan. But then I thought he had his best game of the season in the bowl game against perhaps the best wide receiver in the class. And so he's going to be an interesting case. Like, can he stack 2 years together? I think is a big thing with Denzel Burke.
That's the tough thing with corners in general, because it's such a volatile position. I mean, even the best corners in the NFL have good years and bad years, unless you are the freakiest of the freakiest. And as good as Denzel Burke is, he's not that guy. He's not Will Johnson. He's not Travis Hunter. Right. He's a good player, but if you're not locked in, and especially at a position like corner where you can really lose, it's kind of like you're a professional golfer and you're putting. You can kind of get the yips at corner a little bit. You can lose your confidence out there. And if you, the best part about the crazy corners is that if the ball is overthrown by 10 yards and you got beat, they are so psychotic that was a good play by them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And you have to have that type of insane mentality when you play that position. You just have to. I love that mentality about corners. It's just absolute confidence in yourself to the point where you're not even close to that player and you will never be that player. But because you think you're that player, you are actually playing better than what your physical ability should be able to allow because you play with such confidence. And when you lose that, you can get beat up and you can go through really long stretches like he did in his sophomore year of getting beat up. But you're looking at a guy who, in my opinion, you know, some of the loosest, quickest footwork in the class. And that's what I've always kind of gravitated towards, because you need to just be able to stay in lockstep with wide receivers at the NFL level. And you have to have the requisite physicality like you were talking about to play with them. And that's the one thing that from Denzel Burke playing at Ohio State, having that freaky freshman year, being a little bit banged up here and there, he still plays with that adequate play strength. He's still, I think, one of the better tacklers in this class. And on top of all of that, I don't think he's overly fast. I think he's quicker than he is fast. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't get greedy in man coverage when he's in man leverage. I think he's got a strong natural feel for, you know, zone coverage as well, because what you're going to get a lot at Ohio State is a lot of cover three leverage. It's the way that they play. It's the way that they've always kind of played. And I really kind of like that kind of defense. I mean, I'm a quarters guy as well, but I'm a Rip Liz, Nick Saban guy. I like that defense. There's a reason why it works so well at the college level and, you know, even at the NFL level with the modern cover three that they're playing. But I like the player. It's just about the consistency. And if you don't have that consistency in your final draftable season, no matter how good you were as a freshman, no matter how good your junior tape was, if he goes out and he lays an egg this year, he's going in round four. And then you're looking at a team at the NFL level that might get an absolute steal on day three because he had a bad senior season.
I mean, let's look at Kalen King, right, from Penn State. Kalen King was in the first round every single mock draft of summer scouting last year. Every single mock draft, Kalen King was in the first round. Dude went seventh round.
Yeah. Because talk about a dude who wanted to beat people up. Kalen King was so much fun to watch. Yeah. And then he's just not a good enough athlete. Yeah. It's just all there was to it. He had to play Marvin Harrison Jr. again.
Yeah, that'll kill your confidence. Unless you're Will Johnson, you know. Yeah, but I'm glad you brought up his fluidity and not getting greedy in man. Because I think outside of, again, this is all in context of Will Johnson. So it's a hard conversation to have now that we stacked Will Johnson first, right? Outside of Will Johnson, I think Denzel Burke might have the best man skills of anyone in the class. It wouldn't shock me if he's the third corner off the board by the time next April rolls around. That wouldn't be a surprise to me at all. It wouldn't be a surprise to me if he was like the sixth corner off the board, you know, just depending on how it plays out, how teams prioritize body type. But he's 6 foot 190. Maybe 185. I mean, he's not a bad body type at all. Again, he doesn't have the length that like Travis Hunter
has. I don't think he's 6'1",
180, but like, but again, he's stocky, and I think he knows how to throw his body around a little bit in ways that some of the other corners in this class don't know how to. So we'll see. You know, let's not hold the pattern of every other year, and let's stack two good seasons here for Denzel Burke. Two more corners to hit on here, and you know, they're from schools where we don't typically talk about first round prospects from, which is always fun. I love those like guys who just emerge from schools that typically don't produce big time prospects. Let's start at Arizona first. To Takario Davis, man. So this guy is all of 6'4 and 195 that he's listed at. This dude is long. Do you have any reservations about his movement skills as he comes? Do you think he's going to be extremely scheme specific at the NFL level, which is, again, fine for teams that have a specific scheme? Kind of what are your initial thoughts on Takario?
I hate tall corners just in general.
So do I.
If you're 6'3 or above, I just don't like you.
It's a bias that I'm like actively fighting against all the time because I was low on Sauce. I was low on Reek Woolen, which Reek Woolen did came back to earth a little bit, but like I was low on those guys because like, well, they're tall corners. They're not going to be able to move as well.
Yep.
And it kind of impacted the way that I even saw their tape, even though Sauce's movement skills are tremendous at that size. Like it impacted the way I saw him, even because I had that bias.
I remember those conversations about, hey, do you think he's fast enough? I remember those conversations because he's 6'2" and he just does kind of glide. He doesn't look all that fast, but it was a little bit like the Patrick Surtain thing again, where, you know, you wondered like, is Pat Surtain like a 4.5 guy, like 4.50 guy? And it was just because he never really had to try very hard because he was so good at knowing where he had to be and when he had to be there. I always have reservations about 6'4" corners. Davis might change that for me, just flat out. I loved his tape, Now, what I will say, weaknesses wise, his hands are very active everywhere.
He will not
be able to get away with that at the NFL level. As active as his hands are, against wide receivers, his hands are atrocious at trying to catch the football. I think I've seen him drop 6 interceptions, and I think 4 of them were absolute gimmies. So might not have a bunch of interceptions, but like you said, man, all the length in the world. I think he's got easy recovery speed. He is so smooth down the field carrying the guys. I think he's a quick communicator when, you know, passing routes off in match coverage. I think he has unbelievable sideline awareness as well, and the ability to really bully guys out to the sideline, even though he is a little bit of a slimmer guy. Just overall was really impressed with his movement skills at that size. And I hate to qualify it that way because I just think that he moves like a 6'1" guy. I really don't have any issues with his ability to mirror and match. Now, when you are 6'4", it's always going to be in the back of my head, just always, just because anatomically it's going to be difficult for you to keep up with anybody who is smaller. And we saw that with Kyle Hamilton against Oregon State. He was lined up in the slot and he got beat by like a 5'8" slot corner 5 or 6 times, and everybody lost their GD minds over it. So yeah, it's going to happen. He's going to get beat by the tiny shifty wide receiver, the Taj Washington types, but he is a good player. He's an intelligent corner on the outside. And you're right, scheme specifically, I think he could be a great fit for a team.
Yeah. I think, speaking of that scheme, like Arizona doesn't hide it. Like I watched 3 games and they just came out cover 3, single high, cover 1, cover 3, the entire game. I don't think they ever rolled back a second safety, a single snap that I watched. So he knows he's on an island every single play. And like for a corner to just go up and be like, all right, let's do it. Like, let's roll. Like, that takes supreme confidence, and you need supreme confidence to play the cornerback position. Like, people talked about like the wide receivers and their cryptic messages. Like, the corners are like the psychotic ones on the football field. Like, the overly, like, they're the ones that you just have to have this like unbelievable ego. And so to go out there on that island the way that he does every single week is really tremendous. I do kind of wonder how it'll work at the NFL level when he's seen some better athletes than he saw in the Pac-12. But I didn't see any stiffness in his ability to flip his hips or to speed turn or anything like that. Get on the jugs machine.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Arizona might produce 2 first-round picks this year, man, which is pretty wild if we're talking about offensive linemen too down the road. But I do like Tecario Davis. He's a fun player. So last corner to talk about, and this is a guy that I'm really excited to talk about, because it's not often we get to talk about potential first round picks out of East Carolina, but they've got a young man listed at 6'3", 183, I believe. His name is Savon Revel. You know, I can't find a pronunciation online. I'll do some digging after this. But and he's a football player, man. Came from community college, is now a senior at ECU. And this dude, his burst is unreal. Like, that's where I start with him. Like, he'll come out of a cover 2 buzz look and get vertical, and just it's unreal. And he'll find the football, he'll make a play. I want to see some more man-to-man reps with him. But I think he handles big-bodied receivers well. I watched the Tulane game specifically because Tulane has a wide receiver that just transferred to Tennessee. He was a redshirt freshman last year. His name is Chris Brazel. And I loved Chris Brazel's tape as a true freshman at Tulane. So it's like, I want to see this game. I want to see it. Brazel's all of 6'4", and is really, really fluid. Now he's going to Tennessee where they're not going to ask him to run any routes at all, which is a big disappointment. But and he didn't get beat the entire game, carried him the entire game. And so, like, he's physical at the line of scrimmage. If he's got a chance to shove you into the boundary, he's going to shove you into the boundary. I liked his ball skills to go up in high point, locate the ball while it's deep in the air. Like, if we're talking today, and we'll probably end the episode with how we would align these guys. But if we're talking today, I think I would take Revel before Benjamin Morrison.
Interesting. Was Tulane the game that they threw about 25 nines against him?
Or yeah, which, I think so. That might have been SMU. SMU just
SMU. Yes, well, I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe they just kept testing him down the field. It was clear that nobody was going to create any separation against him, and nobody had the length of him either. That was a lot of fun to watch. That SMU, it was SMU. I remember now. Yeah, like you said, the vertical route stuff I think is fantastic. I do think he is another scheme specific guy. I actually think that he's more scheme specific because I was not as much of a fan of his movement. And it is hidden a little bit in the defensive style that ECU plays. But what I will say is, you were talking about bullying along the sideline. Yeah. I mean, even more than Tecario Davis, especially in that SMU game, he was just legitimately shoving wide receivers out of bounds along the stem, and they had nothing for it. There was no physical. And to see a guy who is on the thinner side, you know, 6'3", 185 is not a huge corner, not a very thick guy, but he plays strong. And I think that's where he's best, carrying vertically. I think those kinds of defenses will be what are best for him. I did see some susceptibility to good eyes from quarterbacks in zone coverage, kind of working him off of where they want to go and allowing guys to open up in his area of operation in zone. He can get a little bit caught in the cookie jar trying to jump stuff. But overall, for me, it was the movement types. And I talked about this before, but if you move a certain way, I'm just going to be a little bit less of a fan. And that's the type of movement skills, just a little bit of a high pedal, which is annoying to watch. Now, when you are keeping vertical leverage and trying to disallow big plays, that's just an okay thing to do if you're not worried about getting beat in front of you. And when you're playing at ECU and you're playing against quarterbacks who are not high level power 5 guys, you're able to get away with that a little bit more. So you would like to see a little bit more against better competition. But like you said, definitely a guy who is a ball player and somebody who I'm excited about watching in this final year.
Yeah, for sure. So I pulled up his PFF charting for that SMU game that you had mentioned. They just kept throwing at him. He was targeted 9 times and gave up 1 catch.
Yeah.
And I think I think
8 of them were verticals that he just did not allow a wide receiver to get anywhere near. And then the one might have been like a slant that he was just, it was his area, but it wasn't really on him.
I love it. All right, we talked about 5. Okay, we haven't really talked a whole lot about Travis Hunter, but our first episode was entirely on Travis Hunter.
Yeah, so you guys should go watch that.
You should go, yeah, watch that episode. All right, let's stack it up. So today, if we were like putting out a draft guide today, solid rankings, I would probably, from 5 to 1, probably Morrison, Revel, Takario, Hunter, Johnson.
And no, then Burke
at
6. Yeah,
it's no, Burke at 6. No. I'd probably go Burke at 3, honestly. So 6, yeah. So yeah.
Morrison at 6.
Morrison at 6 sounds rough on Morrison, but I think that's where you have him.
It doesn't need to be rough because we could still be talking about a first-round guy.
Correct. Yeah, this corner class is ridiculous. So Morrison 6, Revel 5, Takario 4, Burke 3, Hunter 2, Johnson 1.
So I really want to nail this home. I don't like big corners. I don't like tall corners. Okay. I don't like tall corners. For me, it is Revel at 6, Morrison at 5, Burke at 4.
Okay.
Davis at 3. That's why I say I don't like tall corners. And that's how much I like Takario Davis right now. Number 2, Travis Hunter. And number 1, Will Johnson. But that's more of a 1A and 1B situation.
Yeah. Dang. Again, there are a million corners in this class. Like, we didn't even scratch the surface. Like, Kobe Bryant out of Kansas is a really good football player. Like, they're all over the place. I think UCF has a 6'3 corner that's pretty fluid. Like, they're all over the place in this class.
Jabbar Muhammad has played for 75 years.
Yes. Like, these guys are everywhere. So we'll have probably another 2 episodes on corners at some point down the road, just because this class is absolutely loaded. If you need a defensive back, which everybody does the way that teams are drafting NFL receivers on day 2 every single year now. So this is the class for you. You know, even like Ohio State, Jordan Hancock is a guy we haven't talked about. His tape's really good, and he's going to start this year. He's going to come up. Like,
yep.
Louisville has a 5th-year senior that's really – like, they're all over the place. So it's going to be an exciting class to watch. But, you know, 2 episodes
down. Did you
watch
Maxwell Hairston at all?
I haven't, but he's on my list because I know he's got the kind of body type that I gravitate towards.
Yeah, he's kind of fun. He is. He's kind of fun.
Yeah. I've heard he's kind of like a ball skill merchant a little bit. Like, some of his picks are kind of fluky and that kind of inflates his numbers a bit. But I'm excited to get to him too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of a former Kentucky corner who people really, really liked and went into the second round of the NFL draft, and also was a rapper. That the tape is kind of similar, where it's like, oh, like physically you can see like really good football player, but what exactly are they teaching you at Kentucky? Like, sometimes that's kind of just how I feel about some schools, and it's not even scouting the helmet. It's just scouting the players that wear that helmet enough to know, like, it's not the same as a Kirby Smart or Nick Saban corner.
Right. There's a difference between just saying, oh, he plays at Ohio State, he can't be an NFL quarterback, and knowing the scheme that a certain team plays and how a certain player is playing in that scheme. I think those are two pretty big different things. So
good class, though.
Yeah. Great class. So, but that's it, man. Episode 2 of the Duo Down. So we'll keep plugging away here. We've got another episode. Dalton's going on vacation next week. We're going to pre-record an episode. So we'll have 1. I've already got a guest host lined up for one of the episodes. And I still have that player interview with Purdue offensive tackle Marcus Bowe that I got to cut up. And I'll run that while Dalton's on vacation too. So we'll be covered here. And when Dalton gets back, we'll dive right back in. But for Corey, for Dalton, this has been the Daft on Draft podcast.